fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
I've seen more naked people in a, you know, drive home from school than probably most people have seen in their entire lives.
Alrighty, I'm so excited about the guest today. Today I had the pleasure of sitting down with Jenna Hubka, who is the Random Housewife. You might know her from Instagram. She has built a following of nearly 100,000 people in the last just under 5 years. And she's absolutely amazing. She's a dear friend. She's a pillar in our community, volunteer and philanthropist. And the platform that she has is just absolutely incredible. She literally shares random housewife knowledge. So everything from how to create a beautiful floral arrangement, which by the way, she brought me one. She walked in with this gorgeous bouquet and I was like, oh my gosh, where did you get that? And she was like, I made it. Of course you did, Jenna. Of course you did, because you're the Random Housewife. She shares easy recipes, high fashion, low fashion. The reason I love her account so much is because everything she shares is so attainable and mixed with a little bit of bougie. And she's just amazing. I put her in the hype seat because I wanted to get her backstory. Like, I wanted to learn more about where she came from and how she built the Random Housewife, specifically how she grew it and how it started. So we got a little bit in the weeds with how she went about that. And it is my total pleasure to have had her in the studio. Her energy is infectious. She's an amazing mom to two little girls, and she's just the best. So please enjoy Jenna Hubka, Random Housewife, on the hype seat. We're gonna sit right down. We're gonna jump right in. How about that?
First of all, I want you to give an overview of who you are, where you're from. And then the thing that I want to focus on is the Random Housewife, like how you started that. Because when I met you, you had literally just started Random Housewife. Like,
that's
it was true. it was literally like week five of you having just started it.
And I still don't know what I'm doing. That's the best part.
It's so good. I'm so obsessed with it. Okay, so where are you from originally?
Okay, I'm originally from Ormond Beach, which is just north of Daytona, although we do not claim Daytona.
Daytona evokes so much emotion
for
people. Like, I mean, why do you not claim it?
Once they brought spring break there, I knew we were all doomed. Like, we were all going to have to really be specific on, I'm from Ormond Beach, Florida, which is just north of Daytona.
It's like uncomfortable what spring break brings to an area.
Yes.
Like, was that
challenging? Yeah. Well, it was really challenging. My parents were very strict, too, which is good. Looking back, I'm like, okay, great. And I've always been older for my age. So, you know, when I was in high school, I already felt my age today, 40. In spring break at that time, if you remember, it was like wild.
Yeah. It was like the entire SEC just would go and vacation for spring break. Like every SEC sorority, like at University of Tennessee, I mean, I feel like that was the spot everyone would, if you could get, so it was either Destin or Myrtle Beach or Daytona Beach. And like, mayhem. Like, just absolute
mayhem.
And
Daytona was known more as like the craziest of the spots you go.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like
if you're extra, because it's so far to drive too.
Yeah,
it's
like, exactly. It's so like if you're going to make the commitment, you committed. Better show up and do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Like people would stop their cars in the middle of the street, get out of the car, rip their clothes off, jump back in. I mean, it was what you saw, you know, spring break on TV, like MTV. That is real life what happened. I've seen more naked people in a, you know, drive home from school than probably most people have seen in their entire lives.
That's so real.
But yeah, grew up there most of my life, went to school at UF, big Gator fan, and got a degree in park and rec. I'm so old that they didn't have that back in the day. You couldn't just be like, oh, I want to be an event planner.
It's a degree now.
Yeah, of course it's a degree now. We've come a long way. But back in then, no. So you had to get a park and rec degree, which we were with the sports management college.
Oh,
so we were in with all the football players, baseball players, all of us getting park and rec degrees. And so you want to talk about just chaos.
Oh,
that
my God,
was
I can't imagine.
Chaos.
Especially during that time at UF.
Like, gosh. Yes, it was amazing. But yeah, so it's kind of fun. I look up and I see park and rec and I'm like, yeah.
So you go to University of Florida. Is that where you met your husband?
Actually, we met at a wedding. He was living down here. I was up in North Florida still. Met him, honestly saw him across the room at a wedding and told everyone that night I was going to marry him.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Packed up all my stuff, closed my business, followed him to South Florida like an absolute crazy person. And that is so not like me. That is not my type A personality. I had nothing planned. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Oh, I love that.
I just knew I was supposed to marry Cole. And I jumped off the cliff and just hoped my parachute worked.
Okay, so going back to, you go back home, right, to Ormond Beach?
Yep, so I go back home after I graduate. Planner? I actually opened my event planning company in Ormond and serviced like Orlando, Jacksonville, Gainesville, but it was nice to have like a smaller home base and obviously did weddings for people that I knew, which was super cool. But the burnout rate in the event planning world is just super high.
I can't even imagine.
I think you have to be a somewhat crazy person to ever want to go into that field, which is why I went into it. Which I think if you go into the event planning field, you kind of would know to a certain degree how your brain works. Like if you're not type A, you're not going to make it, because guess what? On your spreadsheet, you better have a dollar allotment for duct tape for the cords that are going to be running across from the band. Because if you don't, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And you better have the duct tape in your bag. Like there are so many things you have to check off, but that's how my mind works. I like to know exactly what I'm getting into. I have a roadmap. I check things off and I move on my day.
And how long did you do that?
5 years. When I moved down here, I didn't want to open up another branch of our event planning. My business partner was going through a horrible, horrible family tragedy. And so there was a period of time where I had to still go back up in North Florida and, like, manage that. Mm. Not because she wasn't capable, but the right thing to do was to stay on and help. Mm-hmm. So there was no chance we could open up another event planning branch down here because there's no way I could go up and help. So I was like, well, oh, my gosh. Well, what am I going to do?
At that point, did you realize the burnout of that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was working. Let me put it this way. I don't know when I wasn't working because you're doing all the events, but when you also own the company, I did all the finances, all the marketing, you know, we put together the blog before blogs were even a thing, you know, like all those things. So you either were at an event or you were in the office. And I remember it was right before I met Cole, I want to say, right after this family tragedy happened for my business partner. And I remember her and I just sitting there and I was just, I told her, I was like, I don't know how we can maintain the level we're at. Mm-hmm. I was going to bed at like 2 a.m., up at 5, going to work out, going to the office, then meeting clients. And so I knew with my personality, I could never turn it off. And so I knew that wasn't a lifelong plan if I found someone I wanted to spend my life with.
Oh, events are too, right? Like you're not going to not show up for the...
You can't not show up.
The show goes on.
Exactly.
It has to go on.
It always goes on.
Yeah.
That's what you've signed up for. And so I think I realized it was a really fun thing to do when we were fresh out of college. We had all the time. We weren't thinking seriousness with any of the guys we were with. Like it was awesome. It was the best experience. I would not take back any single part of it. I mean, I know how to cut a cake. I can make the most beautiful flower arrangements because not because I got trained, but because There was one time where the florist didn't show up and you were at we were at Publix buying flowers and figuring out how to make arrangements.
Oh my God.
So I'm so thankful. And it helps you manage time, life. I mean, you name it. It was awesome. But it's not good for a marriage for someone like me, especially if you wanted kids, which my husband wanted 5. Thank goodness I talked him out of that. So then I came down here and I worked in the corporate world. My favorite thing I did is I worked for an electrical contractor.
Oh, cool.
And I worked like office stuff. So I love numbers, spreadsheets, billing. I mean, you name it. I am your girl. Loved every second of it and would have probably stayed with it except for it's construction. So the hours again were crazy.
Yeah.
And thankfully, once we had got pregnant with our first daughter, Cole's business was doing so well where I didn't have to work. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I won't work. Well, you know me. I don't know how to work. Not.
Good one.
So that's kind of how Random Housewife came about too, is I missed the events. I missed the random floral arrangement to make. I missed the parties and the organizing it all, which sounds, again, I told you, you have to be a little crazy. That sounds a little crazy to people. Like, you miss organizing an event? Like, who are you? Yeah. Who, you know?
The bane of my existence.
I think same with Random Housewife. I'm using gifts, the knowledge I have, in a capacity that works for my family. I could never still be an event planner because I can't be working every weekend and never being able to go to my kids' stuff.
Yeah.
Nor would I want to. So now I can pick and choose. You know, I can make the random arrangement on a Thursday, film it, teach someone else maybe a trick they don't know. Maybe they don't know that hydrangea come to life if you put alum powder on the stems.
Yeah, that's your, you know? I learned that from you.
Yes. I forgot about that. So like, it's kind of funny to think like the evolution of how you start off with something and in your head as a kid, think of like where it's going to go. And then you end up down a path that you're still using those talents, but it's completely something you would never think about.
Okay, so you start Random Housewife. Which was what year? Do you know?
I think it was 2020 or 21. 2020. I actually was at a girls' dinner when this whole thing got suggested to me. We were going around a table. I knew, I think, 2 of the girls. Everyone else I did not know, which for a control freak self, you know, that's a little overwhelming because I'm like, oh, gosh, they're going to ask me all about my life. I'm going to have to like, so, you know, I was going through the scenarios in my head. One of the girls at the table said something like etiquette-wise, blah, blah, blah. And I said, actually, that's not correct. And I, like, in a very nice way, corrected her. And the girl that I just met next to me was like, how do you know that? I was like, oh, fun fact about me. I was Miss Cotillion 1996.
Were you really?
I was. And so we're laughing. And then my girlfriend was like, hey, I need that recipe before you leave. Can you, like, write it out for me? And so I'm telling her, you know, we're writing it out at the dinner table. And this girl next to me goes, do you know a little bit about everything? And I was like, no, I just know a bunch of random ass shit. And she goes, you need to start a blog. And I was like, I absolutely do not need to start a blog. I was like, who wants to listen to me? I was like, I literally just have random knowledge. That's not like a thing.
Yes, it is. Hi, me. I like to listen to it.
So she was like, I know. I think this is a thing. And she was like, what could your name be? What could your name be? And we were going around the table. And
can you share who it was? Like, is it someone that you would want to like give like a shout out to who this conversation was with?
Yes. Erica Wolf.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
No way. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
So she's so sweet.
I love her.
She's so spunky. She's so fun.
She is so spunky.
She made me buy randomhousewife.com at the table, had me get the Instagram username. And she's like, even if you do nothing with it, at least you have it.
Dude, she is brilliant.
Brilliant. And so brilliant. I walked out of there being like, I'm never doing anything with this. This girl is crazy. Like, I don't know who she thinks I am, but I gave her the wrong impression. This is not me.
Did you know her before that?
No, that was the first night I met her.
That's so funny.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, I love
that. And so I like...
Wait, for anyone listening, Erica Wolf is a major real estate team leader, and she's a real estate agent, but she's so good at marketing. And I feel like
she's a creative genius.
Dude, she really is. So you buy the domain, which is brilliant. And it's randomhousewife.com.
Randomhousewife.com.
And then you start the Instagram account.
Yeah. And I do nothing with it.
What's the first video you posted?
Oh my gosh. I think it was like a cleaning video. I don't even know. I'd have to go back and look because when this happened, I was like, I'm never doing anything with it. And then I have like a group of childhood friends. We call ourselves the Ladybugs. And I was like telling them about it. And they're like, well, you should do it. If nothing else, you can put your recipes up there for all of us. So you don't have to keep, we don't have to keep bugging you for the same recipe you've given us 900 times.
Yeah.
And they're like, you've already spent the money on it. You should put something up. And I figured, okay, well, let me put up a photo of my family and I and introduce this page that I don't know actually what I'm going to post or what I'm going to do. And it is, I won't even let myself go and try to like get to the bottom of my Instagram to see it because it has to be horrible.
I'll find it.
I don't even know what I wrote, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to put up recipes and I have some really fun cleaning hacks. So that was what I was going to do. And I figured, you know, it'll help. My goal was like, if I could help one person, okay, great. And it's not going to take up too much time. Very naive. Not going to take up too much time. So sure. I'll just do this on my own time. It'll be like a fun thing. I can use my event planning background and teach like some fun tips I have. So then fast forward to pandemic time. Cole and I had a couple too many glasses of wine. And he's like, well, you should try to actually do this if you're going to do this. Like, why just post something once in a blue moon? He's like, that's never going to go anywhere. Why don't you actually see if you have something? And if you do and you want to continue to pursue it, do it. And I was like, I don't know. I still have a hard time seeing myself as an influencer, someone who influences other people. And he's like, don't look at it as influencing. Look at it as just sharing your gift with someone.
When you introduce yourself to people, tell me this. Okay. Do you say you're an influencer?
So I usually say I'm a blogger
okay.
and an influencer.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I think when I originally...
Do you see what I'm asking? Like, is that a point of weirdness for you?
For me, it's weird that I'm even doing this, that we're even talking about
I can relate to that.
For me, I mean, I remember being in college when Facebook came out and thinking, this is weird. I remember when someone texts me for the first time and me saying, why would someone not just pick up the phone? This seems way easier just to call someone. Mm-hmm. So to now think I'm showcasing things online on social media platforms and making money from it and making social connection, like it's bizarre because before this, I wasn't even really active on social media on my own account.
Did you have friends that were?
So thankfully I had friends that were big into like following influencers. They understood the basics. Like I remember one of my friends was like, well, you need to be on LTK. I'm like, what is LTK? Mm-hmm. Literally had no idea. Now I know it's how you monetize and you can make, you know, an actual living out of everything you're sharing. But I didn't know that at the time. And so it took a really long time for me to just to basically be able to walk in heels with this whole influencing thing, to understand the logistics that go into it to get to the end product, which the end product is not just the video you see. It's how was that monetized? How many ways did you monetize it? Can you repurpose this to monetize it again with not as much effort? What's your ROI on the situation? Because honestly, if I'm doing all this work and I'm not doing stuff with my family, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And so I was kind of at this crossroads and I was like, I'm just going to go full charge ahead. So I made my plan.
We planned it out.
And figured like, okay. Back then, I still didn't even really – there was a little fashion component, but it wasn't like it is now. I mean, if you go on now, most of it's fashion. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's inspired from, like, travel and fashion. But I kind of came up with my game plan of, like, okay, I'm going to do this, and it's going to look like this. I was completely wrong about it all, just so you know.
Oh, I love that.
But you learn as you go.
What format did you make your plan in? Like, was this a spreadsheet?
Well,
was this
I'm a big Excel girl. Camera. Well, and I like, I'm a visual, like, graphics person. Yeah. So I kind of have my Excel for, like, numbers, what I think number-wise, you know, how I was trying to understand, okay, if you have this many followers, you would get this type of opportunity. And there's so much in the background of what goes into it that I didn't understand. And so it's just been, honestly, 5 years of learning, and I still don't understand it. I'm still like, this is crazy. Every day I wake up and I can just share these amazing pants with pearls and rhinestones and show people what I'm look like. And I get a new best friend from it.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. Like, it's unbelievable. And especially because, like, I'm saying it's unbelievable how what you've built. Because in order to grow a business as an influencer, like, you have to be so consistent and so smart about what you're doing. Like, people think that you're just throwing up, like, cute videos. And it is like,
I wish that was what I was doing.
I have to say this on the rooftops. It is, do you know how hard it is to build what you have built? And I know you do. But do you?
But here's the thing. If I never did this, I would never know. I would never even begin to understand it, because when I decided I was doing this, I was in over my head. I had no earth. Like I said, I didn't even really know social media. I didn't understand it.
How many followers do you have right now on Instagram?
Like 85,000.
I remember when you hit, I think you had hit either 5 or 10. Did you get to 10 rapidly?
Pretty like swiftly.
Quick. Yeah, I think it was, you had just hit 10 and it was like, oh my God, like you had like.
Which kind of like took me by surprise. Because like I said, I went from like not knowing what I'm doing to like, okay, I'm going to like give this my best effort. I'm going to like make this blueprint. And then when I was like actually doing it, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually doing this. And people actually care what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you package it up really nicely. Like you do a really good job of presenting like every single piece. I feel like that you put out, there's a very clear goal with like either what it is that you're selling or what the theme is, or like it's never, I feel like I'm never confused by like what you're doing, which is
that's like my, I think that's for me, my main goal with anything, especially because it is random, right? So one day you can learn how to make a flower arrangement. The next day you're going to learn how to look cute at a country concert. The next day you might learn a life hack about something with your phone. You just don't know, which can be confusing to an audience member. So how do I make what I'm sharing that day clear?
Yeah, I think your content, though, it all I would say it all like if you distill it down, it's making people more efficient, making your buck go farther. I love when you point out the good deal and like the thing that's not the bougiest choice.
Yeah.
Like I think there's such a need for that, especially in our area. Like it's so refreshing when like I love Holland does it too with her Amazon stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, yes, thank you for that. But you're not. But then you also mix in things that are expensive. And I am bougie. Like I'm like, but give me the Love Shack fancy version again.
Exactly. You know? Well, and I think it's about balance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember growing up and my mom, we would shop at TJ Maxx and Marshall's and Ross Dress for Less. And you're always looking for a good deal. Mm-hmm. And I remember the thrill in when you find a good deal and it looks like something that's way more, like there's a thrill in that, right?
Yeah.
And that's fun. That's fun for people. And not everyone, I don't want to spend $20,000 on one outfit to go out for date night. I just don't. But you know what? I'll buy my Prada bag. Yeah. That's nice. And I'll wear my $20 Amazon shirt and call it a day, because you can mix and match both things and you can have both things and do them well.
Yeah. I think that's where your confidence really bleeds through. Like where, like you, I was saying earlier, like I've always felt like you are so respectable. Like, and it's funny because that's a word that I don't know that I would describe. I don't know that that's like in my like arsenal of words of how I would describe people, but that is how I think of you, is like, I respect her deeply. Like, well, and I think
I'm not a crier, but I kind of feel like I could cry on that. Thank you.
I feel like your mom would be proud of that.
Yeah, she would. I know. I'm going to call her afterwards and tell her about this.
Do you feel that though? Like, do you feel that like people respect you? Like,
gosh, that's kind of like a hard question to answer about yourself. I hope people respect me. I hope every person that runs into me walks away thinking, wow, what a nice, lovely person to talk to. I hope every person that gets to my page realizes I'm authentic and respects me for it.
I think that's one of the reasons why you are such a trusted influencer, because anything that you post that you're endorsing, that you say works or doesn't work, or, you know, or whatever, I trust with every fiber of my being. And it's funny, like your type of you, what the content that you put out is so perfect for a type Z personality, where I'm like, I will just do whatever Jenna says. Like, I trust it. She has researched it up and down. And I'm going to say, like, I don't need to research it because you did. Like, you and I are a match made in hell when, if it came to like I would drive you nuts and you would want to kill me. But as far as like you telling me what to do, like if my ego is in check, I will do anything that you say. Like, because like I just trust that
maybe
you've
the sweetest thing anyone's ever said. But I do.
I'm sure a lot of your audience is like that, right?
I mean, I would imagine so. I think in this day and age, people just want an authentic person.
Yeah.
And they want to know, if you are saying it does this, well, then it better do this. But we're in a day and age where you don't even know who you're talking to is a real person now. So yeah, there's this whole issue within it. But for me, I'm never going to tell someone something's great if it's not.
Yeah.
What's the point of that? So they can tell their friend that what I'm talking about isn't the truth?
Yeah.
Not to mention, I would not be able to go to sleep at night because I'm just that type of person. Like, yeah, if I told someone, oh, hey, oh, for example, there's this awesome oil that I put on my neck now, and it's like helped my like neck lines go away.
Send me a link. Oh, girl.
Number one, it feels luxurious. It smells like pineapples. And I cannot believe how much it's reduced it. And so that's what I tell people. And I put up my photos and I want people to see. But like, I didn't get to that point just by putting it on one time and telling the brand, sure, I'll promote it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not being authentic. Like, how do you even know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say it smells good, it feels good. But yeah, can you say it works?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so just like my checklist of life, I have that for any product, any, let's say, procedure of how I'm going to do something. Like, I'm not doing it once. I'm making sure it holds out over time and it's something that I can stand behind. Because as an influencer, all I have is my word. If you don't have your word and people can't trust what you're saying is how you feel, how things actually are.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a business.
You will lose your audience so fast with
so
that
fast.
Too. If you find out that, as a member of your audience, if I find out that you don't actually use that product, it's like there's such a chink in the armor of like, oh my God, like, but you just put out this video so emphatically, like standing behind it.
And saying it makes it feel so fraudulent, right?
Yeah, it makes it feel so, it's like as an audience, like it really, you will lose your audience in
like that.
No time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like there was, there have been so many cases of influencers who have lost a lot of weight on Ozempic or like on Trizepa or whatever, and have tried to hide it because even me saying that is disgusting. Tried to hide. Like, this is something
I'm super
passionate about.
Well, they're acting like something else has done it and not what it actually is, right?
Yes, yes. And I can deeply, deeply relate to the hole that those influencers dig themselves into. Because on one hand, they do want to portray, because Ozempic arguably does make you make healthier choices, but you're not disclosing the big thing that is what is actually doing it.
You have to give people the scenery.
Yeah.
Okay, I get Botox. All right? That's why I don't have a ton of wrinkles all over my face. But I'm not going to go on and say that this awesome oil I have got rid of my forehead wrinkles.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, like, I have Botox, but, like, I noticed, for example, my neck has lines in it. I'm trying to get rid of it. This is what worked for me.
That's one thing I think you've done well, and I want you to talk a little bit about that. How it feels, or at first, like, was it hard to be unapologetic about the fact that you are getting paid for your opinion of things? Like, did that feel uncomfortable?
It was strange. I didn't really feel uncomfortable about it because of the amount of work that goes into anything, right? Mm-hmm. And I do firmly stand by the fact that if you're going to put work into something, you should be paid for it, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that I was being paid. It was just still such a strange concept to me that what I was saying mattered to a brand enough to where they wanted to pay me for it. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting. That was a really interesting, I think, turning point in business where I wasn't going after the business anymore when businesses were coming to me.
When did that happen?
Right when I hit about 15,000 in followers, I would say. I mean, you had little ones before that, but that was when I really noticed, like, oh, this is something. This is where we can really learn how to monetize it and make the amount of work start to make sense. But I've built a business before. Mm-hmm. Cole owns his own business. I am still the CFO of his company. So I know the first 5 years of business, they're going to suck and they're going to be hard and you're not going to make money and like all that. So once I got to like—
Say it again.
It's going to be hard. It's going to suck and you're not going to make money.
Amen. 5 years.
5 years. Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum 5 years. And if you do it before that, probably a lot of luck.
Yep.
Because it's nothing with hard work. It's you need that amount of time to get your name out there. You need that amount of time for your business to prove itself so you can prove that you're respectable, you're authentic, all these things, right?
It's all the double back too. It's like implementing this software system. Nope, doesn't work. Hiring this person. Nope, doesn't work. Like being in this location. Nope, doesn't work. Like until you really figure it out.
There's a lot of wrongs before there's a little bit of right.
And every wrong is valuable. Every single wrong is a redirect. And it's a, no, we're not going to do that because now we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And that's why people quit. You know, like it's.
Because it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the one. I try not to look at numbers. I try not to like fixate on like I have this many followers and this many views of a post, because if you start to do that, you'll as an influencer go crazy.
Everything in your world though is metric based, right?
It's like, metric based.
And like your pay is directly related often to your engagement and right? I mean, they obsess over that. So it's almost like you kind of have to.
Yes, but I try not to, because your worth is not defined by a number. Your worth is defined by the quality of product you put out.
Yeah.
And that's hard in the industry I'm in, right? Because I can make a darn good video. And maybe that day Instagram's just not showing whatever it is I'm showing that day.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they're going to push, right? Mm-hmm. And there's variables outside of your control. You're pushing bikinis because it's, you know, summertime. But there's a lot of people going on ski vacations that are your followers. You didn't know. How would you know? So, like, the metrics are a key part of it. But, like, I try not to look at that. And instead, I focus on what was good about that I did. Was there something I could improve upon for the next one?
Are you always, like, tinkering with that?
I'm always tinkering. I think that's what makes anyone good at their craft. If you just are like, oh, that's great, I'm just going to do it again. I'm sorry. That's going to phase out soon. You always have to be looking. What's the next trend? How could I have made this better? Oh, gosh, I did a weird pause. I shouldn't have paused. I should have, like, in editing, caught that and, like, made it shorter. You know, there's so many different things that at the end is that outcome, right? Now, would it matter in what your metrics were? You can't say.
Yeah.
But next time you can try to be better.
Do you still edit your own stuff?
So I still edit everything. I do have an assistant, but she helps me handle in like brand contracts, mm-hmm. negotiating the back and forth, the more like office type of work. Mm-hmm. Part of it's because she's virtual. But the other part is maybe I'll feel different the bigger this gets, but it's my name that's on the line. If I'm not doing my own editing and knowing exactly how it's going to look and seeing the raw footage that I know I could change up and move in, mm-hmm. then it's not me. And aren't people coming to talk to me?
Yeah.
They want to hear my voice. To me, with what I do, and this is no other business but influencing, I would say, if I'm having someone change my voice and how I would have things done, why is everyone here to me?
Yeah. I think there's one of the things I was working with. So when I launched Hype Boss, one of the reasons why I launched it was to help influencers in the background, help them with this, where you're at this tipping point of needing to have someone else to outsource things.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
And I think it's really important. We did this with someone. It's really important that you disclose to your audience that it's no longer you. And yeah. That, like, and almost like being completely honest with it so that you can be different. And it mm-hmm. shifted their audience into where her account is now in the third person. So it's, this is what Jenna was doing today. Like, now Random Housewife is in the third person. And it was like this, like, changing of the guard.
But because, like, it's so impossible smart otherwise. How that's done. And it's yeah. still then authentic to the account.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still like, I mean, I think Gary Vee does this really well too, where, like, he takes snippets of him talking, but it's not him doing it. And it's very clear that it's not him doing it, you know, mm-hmm. but, like, changing that is, you will rock the boat with your community if you don't, I think, if you don't disclose it or, like, put, like, unless the person's doing it very, very well. But I think.
Which, and not saying that's not a possibility.
Yeah.
I just think you have to figure out what you're comfortable with. And what you think holds true to the values that are key for you. And I just, for me at this juncture, I just can't imagine someone else editing my voice and what I'm trying to say. Because I like to talk. I talk a lot. For every 10-second clip you see, I probably recorded 20 minutes of something. So it goes a million different directions. So then to have someone be able to take what the craziness in my mind is and put it into 10 seconds,
yeah,
that's not me. I just don't – number one, God bless that person, because yeah, I don't know how they would get through that.
I'm an editing nightmare, too. You know? I'll give you 20 minutes of
– exactly.
But there's a good 10-second clip in there.
There always is. Always is. So, yeah, but as it's gotten – to the scale it is now, that, I mean, that's why I have her, but she's doing more behind the scenes, which is super helpful because I would not be able to do what I do without her.
So is she was your original business partner?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. So when did you hire her?
Oh gosh. When she listens to this, she's going to be able to tell you the exact date because that's how her mind works. And I don't know what today even is.
Was it at a point though where you...
It was at a point of necessity where I was like, I need some sort of help. It was probably... It had to be like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And I was just like, geez, like, if I want to keep growing, my little spreadsheet, you know, all the stuff I wanted to do, I'm like, I'm one person and I still wanted to be a mom. I still wanted to be a good wife. I still wanted to, you know, make dinner and not have to record it. I wanted to have my normal life. I wanted my cake and I wanted to eat it too, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, what can I maybe hire someone, outsource them? So I actually went to her and was like, I don't know how you're going to feel about this because we were business partners and now technically you work for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, really what I need is I told her I needed like when things went on sale. So let's say Revolve is having a huge sale this weekend. We would know a couple days in advance. I'd be like, can you put together some shopping boards for me so we can put them up, let people know about the sale. And then while that's happening, I'll film Revolve pieces. So we had like these two components. And so we had extra content that then we could monetize outside of my just one piece I was doing.
Smart.
So I was like, in essence, we're not going to make more money because I'm bringing you on, but we're not going to be losing money. And I think that's a good transition. So we did that for... I want to say 6 to 8 months. And then the brand deal started coming in. And I was like, I can't answer back these emails. It was
That's so cool.
A full-time job. And it blew my mind.
So like, for anyone that is not familiar with this, explain what a brand deal is.
So a brand deal is where a brand, so what's your favorite brand?
Dyson.
So it would be that Dyson somehow has stumbled upon your Instagram page. And they're like, look at Holly go. I would love to get a Dyson in her hand. How can I make that happen? They're like, I'm going to send her an email. So I will get an email that's like, hey, Jenna, love your content. Think you would be a great match for our brand.
When they started coming in like hot and heavy like that, was it from the brands themselves or from third parties?
Most of the time it was brands themselves. Now we do see kind of a mix. There's like marketing agencies that are like running for a couple different brands, which is kind of fun because then they're like, oh, hey, I also have this brand. Would you be interested in working with them? But
do you have an agency?
I don't. I am my own.
For you. Do you get pitched a lot to be represented? Is it, mm-hmm. what's like the big, what's a reason why you, actually, I already know the answer to this, but why you don't have an agency?
So there's actually a couple of reasons. Number one, I would have to release control, and I'm a control freak. And the reason I'm saying that is because when you go with an agency, they're representing many people like me. They only have these brands they're working with, which means anyone else that's on their lineup is also going to be working. So let's say Dyson's their person. The influencers they think are a good match are all pitched the same thing. Well, that campaign happens the same time. So now you have four different influencers talking about Dyson on the same 2 days.
Yeah.
And to me, that is just so salesy.
Yeah.
Which I don't want my page to be. Yes, I want you to buy things so I can make a living. But that's not the point. The point is, well, I like the Dyson because it helps to pick up pet hair super easy and whatever that is, right? So I feel like you kind of lose the authenticness of your account.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing, so that's a lot of agencies, it's not just like, oh, well, it's multiple campaigns at once, okay? Obviously, they take a cut. I'd rather give my cut to my best friend who knows me better than anyone, and I know what the work product will be. And I just feel like if I had an agency, they would be my boss now. And I do not want a boss.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have a couple of friends that are part of agencies, and they're great, and there are huge benefits to them. You get contracts that I will never, ever probably see. Mm-hmm. I will never see probably a Dyson because they're going to work with agencies, right? Which is great and fine. So there's tons of benefits. But one of my girlfriends pointed out to me how she was feeling so stressed because the agency checks in every week and it's like, okay, well, why have you not grown past 85.2? It's been 2 weeks. You should be at 85.5 now. And oh, why did that reel only get 12,000 views? We were expecting it to be 15.
And hard pass.
And for me, I do not want that.
No, thank you.
I do not need that. I am thankfully in a position. I'm not doing this because I have to make money and I have to hit these goals. I'm doing this because I love it and it's fun. And I've met some amazing people. I've helped some businesses, like small businesses that people have probably never heard about. And it fulfills me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm using the gifts God gave me in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And if I go where a company is directing what that is, then I've lost the reason I'm doing this. And then why am I doing it?
Yeah, I could see that. That's a really good answer. And not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to leave it at just that you're a control freak.
Well, you don't want to be. That's a big one.
I love that. So with brand deals, so when you hired your friend and the brand deals started coming in, so now do you get pitched something like every day?
Many times.
If you were to take your inbox now and like show Jenna from when you first started, like the amount of things that people are like,
that Jenna,
please promote my product. They're going to pay me what to what?
Exactly. Exactly. And now it's more about, okay, let's take a moment. Let's look at the website very carefully. Mm-hmm. Do we like the product? Like, to give you a great example, there was a jewelry company that approached us and at first, I was like, oh, this is like really cute. Like, I kind of like what it is. And then Jen, that's my assistant, comes back to me and she's like, I look deep into the website. She's like, aesthetically, it is not our brand. Like, it's not hitting the boxes. And she's like, but we can still do it. And I'm like, okay, let me take 2 minutes and let me just go see what you're talking about. Because I'm like, I was just on there. Like, what? Mm-hmm. So now, thankfully, we're at a point where we can pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And that's been really nice because if it's not in line with our brand, if it's not something I feel like I can be truly authentic with, we don't even engage it anymore. Where back, you know, when you're starting off, you're like every opportunity, like, how can I make this work? You're like in your mind trying to figure out, is there a way to make it work? Now it's just like, we just tell them sorry.
Yeah. How do you say that? Like, sorry, we're not aligned. Like, how do you say
yeah,
it? Like,
yeah.
Aesthetically.
So, I mean, I think her and I talked about, because it's so hard when it's especially like a smaller company and you hear the story and, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to be able to help these people. You can't help everyone. That's what my mom tells me. But I, you know, we just kindly write back like, you know what? We've reviewed this with the team. They don't need to know. It's just Jen and I back there. We've read it with the team and we just don't see this aligning with our brand and our followers. And we would not want to do a disservice to you to promote something that's not going to bring you the exposure you're hoping for.
Yeah, that's a good way
and
to say it.
Brands would much rather you say that because the last thing they want is to pay someone to push something that's not going to go anywhere. And now they feel like they wasted money. So for me, it's a win-win. It's sometimes a hard conversation to have.
Yeah. But there's a responsibility that you do you feel that? Because I can imagine, like, if someone buys something and then they're coming back to you and are like, this was shit.
Yeah.
Your video said it was good. Have you had that happen before?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Really?
Well, it's really hard because Amazon, you can't predict.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What the person's actually going to get, you know, which I do every now and then try to get on my stories to be like, remember, this is an Amazon. It might not look exactly as this.
Yeah.
And I had, oh, my gosh, this disgruntled follower. I had shown an Amazon look for less dress and it was like a florally designed. It was gorgeous. The version I got was more green than pink. I guess she got one that was more pink than green.
Okay.
And so I wrote back like, oh my gosh, like,
thanks for letting me know.
So sorry. It's not exactly what you envisioned.
First of all, the fact that they came back to you is so funny to me. Like it's like, okay.
But
first
I was
of all,
like,
your
was
problem
like,
is not with me. It's with the.
But I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm sure that's so disappointing because, yeah, if you're expecting it to look a certain way. But I'm like, that is the only problem. This is a look for less from Amazon. You could have bought the designer one. That would have been perfect. But like, that's the whole point of the look for less.
Get what you pay for.
You know, so that's hard sometimes. But, you know, for example, skincare. We get approached every day by a skincare company. I'm not joking. Every day, there's something about skincare. And we have adamantly turned away skincare.
Yeah.
Just, I'm like, I don't, because there's usually like, they're like, okay, within the contract, you have to have content produced within 2 weeks of getting the product. How on earth could I use skincare and see anything and know anything in 2 weeks' time, right? So we always have just turned it away. And I got approached by the company I was telling you got rid of my neck, my wrinkles here in my neck with their oil. It was the coolest conversation because we like at first I'm like, you know what? I just don't really promote skincare. I just don't feel like the timelines. And this had like the timelines listed out, same thing. I'm just not comfortable with this. I don't feel like I could be authentic. And they wrote me back and was like, well, how long do you need? We'll give you whatever you need. We want you to test this. And I said, okay, that's wonderful. Like, thank you. But if in the end of this, I don't like it, I can't promote it. So I'm like, I don't want you to come after me for breaching contract, for not promoting the products you sent me, even though you're going to give me a further timeline. And they were like, we will make this work for both of us. If you do not like this, all we ask is for you to give us the reasons why. So we know. So if it's something our brand can do better, we can do better. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, then, yeah, I'll give this a try. Love it. Use it, got rid of my neck wrinkles. I'm happy as can be. But like, that isn't an opportunity that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Usually you're not talking to a high enough person in these organizations where they can make a decision like that.
Yeah. And I think also people are so thirsty for opportunity that it's like, if she's not going to do it, like,
well, there are people that will say yes.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's, I will speak for all of us influencers out there because I do feel everyone I've spoken to has mentioned this. That's the hard part of an influencer. When you turn, if you're considering turning down an opportunity, the chances of the brand coming back and trying to make it work with you, they are so slim. And that's scary because it's out the door. There's so many influencers now and a good portion of them don't care if a product actually does what it says or looks the way it is. They're making their bottom lines work, which I'm not, you know, everyone has to do their business their way and make a living and all that. But that's the hard thing. And that's the risk you take every day by saying no.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Do you go on TikTok?
No, I try to get on it. Cole is very adamant against TikTok because there's a disclosure in there that they can go into any electronic device in your home.
Okay.
And so the breach of security did not make it through our...
Got it. So you have been as successful as you are on Instagram exclusively? Like, is your
Instagram,
Facebook page?
And then I have a Facebook like business page, but
is
I've
it
only
followed,
had
like by
it's I think I have like 20,000 over there. I've only had it for like a year, so I had to get it at some point. All these different monetizing platforms like LTK and all that, you had to have a Facebook business page connected with your Instagram to make their platforms work. It was like the new things they were rolling out.
Yeah.
So at that point, I had to get it, and honestly, I didn't ever post on it, and then one of my influencer friends was like, all you have to do is click this button and whatever you post on Instagram goes directly on it. And I was like, oh, well, I can do that.
I can do that. That's what I...
But yeah, no, those are the only platforms I have. And then I have like the blog for, you know, my detailed travel posts, the recipes.
Are people, are brands that approach you, do they get particular about, like if Dyson approached you, would they be particular about what you include in the content? Like talk a little bit about that.
Depends on the brand, but yes, most of them have some sort of strategic angle they're proposing to you. Sometimes it can be really great. Like they've actually looked at your page and they really like your content. And so they'll point out like, hey, like I saw you did this for this brand. We'd love something similar. Or, you know, we see you do a lot of recipes and we have this awesome knife. Could you find a way to incorporate it in? Okay, so sometimes it's really great and you're like, okay, great. sometimes they've not looked at your stuff at all. And they're like, so what we need is, and it's 2 pages long of every angle, how they want you to talk about the product, what you can say, what you can't say. The list of like what you can't say is usually so long. You know, you can't have a competitor's project up 5 days beforehand and 5 days after. So it's just really more brand specific. I'm kind of at a point where if you're hard to work with and you have all this red tape, it's not worth the time. And when there's so much red tape, how can I be authentically me?
Yeah.
If you're telling me exactly how to do this and what I need to do, we have a problem. And actually, yeah, we ran into that recently. And we had worked with the brand for a long time, too.
Really?
And they had come back and they had a very strict videoing guidelines, how they wanted me to, like, even like verbiage some of it. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's not how I talk.
Yeah.
You want me to go on screen to the people that trust me and not even use my own voice? No, you couldn't pay me enough to do that. And I think that's the hard part when you're starting off in the influencing world, right? Because if you don't have a big enough follower, what they're willing to pay you is nothing. Yeah. But the work is the exact same.
Yeah.
If you care about your work quality.
Yeah. I would say that the uptick in people reaching out to me has come in the last couple of years when I promote other things. It's like, I feel like when I promote other things, other brands, then it like triggers like them to want to like
work
like
with you. Yep.
Yeah, like when you share something that's like within a certain silo, I'm trying to think, like a kitchenware type thing, then do you get a bunch of other
how that works? So here's the best example. Last year around this time, an Amazon bra company reached out to us and it was like strapless, seamless. I'm like, actually, this is really great because I'm trying to get away from underwire. You know, there's all the negativity towards it. And I was like, they look really comfortable. I was about to buy one from Bloomingdale's that was like 4 times the price.
Oh, it was like a bandeau type.
So I have them in every shape and size now. But the one at the time was just like a normal V-neck. You could wear it like a t-shirt bra. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. So I'm like, okay, well, yeah, let's do this. But I was like, I don't want to like necessarily show the bra on me. Like, what are the parameters, right? Like we were just talking about. There was no parameters. It's just like, hey, if you like it, if you'll make a video, we'll pay you X. Okay. So ended up loving the bra. Put the reel up. Do you know how many bra videos I've made now?
Oh my God.
I have made so many bra videos. It is
I feel like I've seen a bunch of
I'm sure.
Yeah, I feel like I've probably bought a bunch of your stuff too.
Okay, number one, they're amazing. But still, so you're right. You start doing something and chances are that silo, all of a sudden you're going to get way more requests.
Yeah.
And the bra thing's hard because it's like, well, I can't say this is the best Amazon bra and now there's 60 other Amazon bras that want me to make the same reel.
I think accidentally, I like accidentally identified that if you are trying to make a run at doing this for a living and you just start promoting things and showing the brands your chops for like being able to do it. Like, I feel like every time I do a video that promotes something, I'll get a flurry of people because it's like, oh, she can do it. Like she, you know, or she's getting paid for that one thing. Is that how it happened for you? Like when you started?
Yeah. I mean, it's the exposure, right? Just like you're saying. Okay, well, I happened to put up about my cast iron pan. And then next I know I had 3 different well-known kitchen companies reaching out to me with different situations, right? And that was great. When you're starting off, it's all gifted. Like you said, they'll send you the product. You have it. You put it up. Wonderful. But like taking it from a gifting situation and learning your business enough to figure out how to monetize it.
Yes.
That was the difficult
point. That is literally my stopping point is there. I get paid for things all the time, but it's not like that is my I like a gift and I don't want to deal with
the chaos.
Literally the links alone and the thing that you're talking about with Facebook, like the way you guys have to like you made it sound like it's like easy. It's not. Like you have to like give them access because they like white label your page. Like I feel like I see your ads and it's like your account and you have to give them like the code. It's so complicated.
It's crazy.
It's so complicated.
And guess what? No brand does it the same way. So everyone does it a different way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I'll be like, oh, yeah, we know how to do that, no problem. And then next I know, you know, Jeanette at so-and-so brand has sent me this long. And I'm like, where is this even at?
What brand have you done the most stuff for? Like, is there one that's like your thing?
So I'll put it in 2 separate silos. So there is content you see, that is on my page. And then there's content I create that is not on my page.
Okay.
So I have created tons of UGC content, so user-generated content, where the brand just uses it for Kira Grace yoga.
Okay.
So if you go to Kira Grace, you're going to be like, oh, gosh, you probably had no idea that I've ever even done stuff for them. But I do stuff for them all the time. I've done it from when I had like 8,000 followers.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're so sweet. They're great to work with.
Say the name again. What yoga?
Kira Grace yoga.
Okay.
Their stuff is awesome, by the way. So they have... It's like yoga pants, but they look like work pants. So comfortable. They're unbelievable.
I need those. Send me a link.
You will need them in every color. They are so comfortable.
Through the link machine.
So I've done tons of work for them. And it's been awesome because we've kind of like grown together.
Oh, that's so cool.
Because they kind of were starting off when I was starting off. So it's kind of like just like a makes you feel good type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I would say as far as content you see... Currently, I would say the one you probably see the most of is Especia or Walmart.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen a lot of your Walmart stuff.
Mm-hmm. So Walmart, we've done a few campaigns with them, and then we just signed up for a 3-month campaign, which for a bigger brand, it's pretty smooth. So I'm pretty...
What does that mean, like a campaign?
So a campaign would be what you see as the finished content on my page. So that reel. So they'll have a campaign, like September campaign I had to produce, which is going up tomorrow. It will be one reel and 3 specific story slides, all posted within one day. And then throughout the month of September, I have to post 5 different times into stories, some other content from Walmart.
And is it any, are you promoting anything at Walmart? Or
so there's, right now it's fall collection. So they have a list of like, within Walmart, these are the lines you can choose from. And I go on and like figure out what I think my followers would like from that. So there's a lot of freedom there. It's not very, like sometimes you'll get something and it's like, these are the 3 products you can choose from. And you're like, well, I wouldn't wear any of those really.
Yeah.
So I got to pass. But with this, it's just like, hey, look through, see what you like. I try to find things that look high end, but are $20. That's my goal. That's not everyone's goal that works with Walmart, but mine is like,
and so you select them and then they send them to you?
A lot of brands, yeah, they have like a gifting part of the paid campaign. So you'll get gifted item.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
And then you get paid on top of it. But it's all brand specific. So like... what happens with the brand that I've worked with before? I have their products. I don't necessarily need them to send me more unless I am running low if it's a usable product.
And so with Walmart, this is a really good example because I think this is like when you first started, like literally, Jenna, 5 years ago, like you have a brand deal with Walmart?
Yeah. Crazy.
Like, come again? I'm sorry. And it's a third one? Like, that's so cool.
I know.
Cool.
It's crazy,
so,
right?
So cool. Like, you're doing it. Like, you were doing it. So... a campaign like that, so you pick, so there's someone on their side that you're working with who like manages their influencers, I'm sure, is mm-hmm. that how that works?
So I'm actually working with the social linking platform with Walmart. So Mavely is my team I'm working with where it all gets filtered through to Walmart.
Got it.
Which has actually been like the biggest blessing because if there's any issues when the content goes up and it's a link issue, I'm dealing with those people directly.
Yeah.
So we actually did have an issue the first time I did the campaign that like it was on my page, but when people would go to and it was like not
a dead link. Oh my gosh.
And there was no rhyme or reason. And so we thankfully, because they were our content, it was a glitch in their system and they had to like toggle something on.
Oh gosh.
But like without that, we would have been no way would have hit the numbers that would have gotten us the now more campaigns that we have with them,
yeah,
which is super cool.
It's so interesting with all of this. Ultimately, we're all at the mercy of Meta.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really what it boils down to.
Well, and it's super frustrating. It's because you can, if you're someone who tracks growth metrics, mm-hmm. you know, even though I say I try not to look at numbers on a daily basis, but obviously throughout the week, you're tracking, you know when Meta's put a something on your
doing
account.
Something. Yes.
And it is so obvious. And thankfully, because the type of account I have, I can call and actually speak to someone, but they don't help.
Yeah.
But it is amazing. Every time I call and complain about, like, this doesn't seem right, something's not working right, within like 3 days, all of a sudden things look better. So I'm like,
interesting. Oh, that's good to know.
But we are all at the mercy of that, because I have 85,000 followers. But if Meta's not pushing it out to them.
Yeah, it doesn't.
They don't know.
Yeah.
The followers don't know. I put out new stuff. I don't know. They can't see it. So.
Yeah. It's crazy how much you'll know when something's off, too. Mm-hmm.
Which I do think that is the importance of having, like, a blog.
Yeah.
Another source of information to be retained.
Yeah. I think that's why those Substacks and the I'm using Substacks as, like, or Substack as a brand. It's not just that. It's like owning your domain, like having something that's off of owning your content, having something that's off the third party. Even though Substack is a third party. Like having your own. I mean, I've been talking about this for years, and it's so funny. One of my biggest pieces of advice for any business owner is have your own website with your own content on it, and double down on, like, whatever you post on Instagram should end up on your domain. Mm-hmm. firstname/lastname.com or Random Housewife, like, whatever your handle is, just dump it into your domain and start feeding that machine, because TikTok could go down tomorrow. And then it did.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, you know, taken down.
Well, and I think that's a scary thing specifically for influencers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting hacked and, like, yeah. Have you ever had that happen? I'm not even going to ask you that. Don't answer that.
I have an influencer friend that it just recently happened to, and it was pretty heartbreaking. Now, thankfully, it took 4 months, but she did get it back finally. But to navigate brand deals you have that you can't even get onto your account, and so now you make a new account, but now you have 2,000 followers versus 85,000 followers.
Yeah,
and there's nothing you can do. And that's what's scary, I think, about for any business, not just influencers, but because we're such an electronic world now, we're at the mercy of those electronics working correctly.
Yeah.
Your email can get hacked. Social media can get hacked. Bank accounts can get hacked because it's all electronic. So you have to have those firewalls in place. Have, like, your Substack, have a blog, have the different components to try to safeguard yourself as much as you can.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow, everything can turn black.
Yeah, totally. It's so true. As a business owner, the heartbreak, I just feel that in my bones, like, the heartbreak over something going down is, you know, you pour your heart and soul into. It's not just building a product. You know, it's like, there's a legacy, I think, that comes there's a legacy, and I think it's really cool that comes with social media. Like, if you're, I always think it's interesting when people retire and they have, like, this is now happening because now, like, there's an aging, especially Gen X, like, there's an aging generation. Our generation is the first generation that is the first user of a platform. So, like, on Facebook, when they first brought Facebook to college, like, my number on Facebook is, like, in the, like, low, it's like a 5-figure number, which is, like, a very, you know, and then when they rolled out Instagram, like, we're like, being an early adopter of the platform is cool. But when you retire, like, how you like, that's an asset of the business. And it's also part of your legacy. But, like, that transfers, you know, with, like, you can sell Random Housewife. Like,
Correct.
That is an asset that you've now created beyond the persona that you are getting recognized in the grocery store. It's like, you actually have, like, your business is very viable. And I love that your business is not your name. Like, that to me is maybe the smartest decision you've ever made. Like, because
we can thank Erica Wolf for that.
I know. So what is on the horizon for you? I feel like I could ask you 1,000 other questions, but I need to, like, land the plane here.
Okay. Well, some travel.
What is it? See,
it's called See Lazy You, and it is
See Lazy You.
Magical. I literally am counting down the moments until I am stepping foot there. It's incredible. I can't, you know, when something's so special, you can't even put it into words. That's where I am with it. But it's amazing. And it started off actually during the pandemic was the first time I went. I went in September of 2020, and I had not rode a horse in like 20 years. The girl who asked me is now one of my dearest friends. But at the time, she invited me by saying, "Hey, Jenna, this is Jackie, Piper's mom from school." Like, we did not really know each other.
Okay.
And so she's like, "This is kind of crazy, but would you want to go to this women's retreat at this dude ranch with me out in Colorado?" And I looked at it, and Cole was sitting next to me, And I was like, this looks awesome. He's like, you should go. I was like, would you be okay with him going? He's like, yeah. So I write back almost immediately. I'm in. She doesn't write me back. And then I go, oh my gosh, there's another Jenna that she meant to send this to. Like, she sent it to the wrong person. And I started freaking out. Finally got back to me the next day and was like, are you serious? And I'm like, yes. And so she's like, well, should we go to like dinner or something before we go and spend a week with each other? But that was 2020, and we've done it every year, sometimes two times a year since.
I love it so much.
And she's like my dearest friend now.
Do they pay you? They should.
No, they don't.
They should.
Well, it's so funny. Every time we go out there, someone's like, oh, are you sponsored by them? I'm like, no. I'm like, I just love the place so much. I think this is my ninth time going.
Incredible. I'm going to send them this tape. They need to pay you.
Yes.
Or at least do something for
cover
you.
My bar bill. Come on.
Buy the college drink. My God.
No, but it's awesome. So I am about to go on that. And it's incredible. See Lazy You. And then I go to Italy at the end of the month. So have a lot of fun travel inspo, come travel with us type of content going up. And then really gearing up for the holidays. That's really what's on the horizon for us.
Yeah, this is like kind of your busy season, right?
This is when it starts. It's also my favorite time because I love decorating for the holidays, and it's where I can really use my event planning stuff. So I get to, it's a little more of a creative time for me too. You'll see more recipes this time of year. More how do you set a table, the kind of more like hosting tips, which is at the core like what I love. That's what we're kind of gearing up for. We are keeping our eye. We really are trying to hit 100K by the end of this year. Like, that was our goal for this year. And I'm telling you, I feel like I am walking in stilettos, crawling my way up a 10-story building, and I'm like, throw me down at Life Fest, someone like help pull me up. I don't know. It's the slow haul, but that's like our.
When you see a pop of followers, what usually causes that?
It's interesting. It's usually not what I think it will be.
Yeah.
Every time. I'm like, my recent pop of followers was because when Instagram did their recent update, they automatically. If you had your location where it would not just share all the time, most of us share all the time, but even if you just had it like when you'd post, it would put, you know, automatically Jupiter, Florida, right? Which is what I had on because I don't want to have to like type it out every time.
Yeah.
But if you had that on, you automatically got put into this bin where your precise location showed. So if I happened to be at my girl's school and was posting, their school would be the address.
Yep.
So my girlfriend, you know, told me about it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, everyone needs to know this. You know, like, this is to me, like, this cannot happen. People need to know. So I put up this post. Didn't think anything of it. Just like, hey, everyone needs to know.
Oh, I love that.
But it made me so happy because it wasn't.
Something you're selling?
I'm not selling anything. It was just something that was important to me that I think people should know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that was very satisfying. And then, you know, another time I remember was this pink two-piece set that had these little rope ties. And it was like, I think I got 5,000 followers in a day. It was, like, crazy. And I'm like, I mean, it was a cute set. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, I recorded that in, like, it was literally, like, a 10-second clip. And I recorded it one time with my photographer girl that, like, there. It was not edited because it was like a clean 10-second clip. Like, it was the easiest thing I've ever done. And I'm like, I just spent 3 hours developing a recipe, filming it, putting it up, editing.
That's so funny.
So you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where we were talking about like, okay, well, you can have this whole plan. What's going to resonate with your followers? What's not? You don't know. Because what if you're planning those summer bikinis, like I said, but everyone's going on a ski trip?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of content also that that we put up that, like, I know this one with my real estate business, that it needs to, like, a just listed, like, hey, come check out this house type thing that's not necessarily being shared with people. Like you have to take into consideration when you're building your business on a social media platform, that the content that's going to engage people. So with that piece of content with the location, that's going to speak directly to the heart of your audience because they're moms.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get shared. And so it's going to blow up. But you can't always share content like that.
Correct.
So it's like strategically placing the things that you know is going to get shared a lot and mixing it in with the stuff that is what I call the lurker content. So like our just listed thing, you know, in Abacoa might be getting shared from husband to wife. You know, he sees it, he wants her to see it, but it's not like a fully, because it's a very specific thing, but it's the thing that's going to get.
But if you shared 5 tips on how to successfully sell your house in 30 days, that's probably going to be shared by way more people.
Yeah, totally. But I don't have a business unless I'm selling, like, you don't have a business unless you're selling jeans, you know? Like,
correct. Well, and so I think that's the interesting part of any business. But what I'm realizing,
and it's like chasing the dopamine, I think, is the mistake that people make. It's like chasing
100%. You can't, if you're chasing for every post to be going viral, you're doing something wrong. Number one, you're gonna burn out, because that's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. That's not real life. That happens to very few people where they're constantly going viral. Instead, I like to focus on, okay, I kind of look at it as a month. I know we have this many fashion. So not everyone's here for fashion. There are some people who like my recipes. I need to add a couple recipes in. Okay, we haven't done a life hack before or a Tip Tuesday. I do a lot of Tip Tuesdays. Sprinkle that in. And I think, which even pertains to what you're saying with your industry, you have to have a mixture of different things appealing to different people. Mm. And as a business, it would be advantageous to know what resonates when.
Yeah. Yes.
And for your followers to know what that looks like. Oh, hey, I'm going to go to Random Housewife because I need to figure out what to make for dinner. If you pulled up my page right now and you weren't someone that followed along for a little bit, you'd probably look and be like, oh, there's no recipes here. But if I have done a good job with my followers of letting them know that, like, hey, recipes sometimes are sprinkled in my stories, or just scroll down, like, that's not something that gets posted on feed every week. Or, hey, here's a highlight, then I'm doing a disservice to them and they can't find what they're looking for. So you have to have a roadmap.
It really is and I think that's what the good ones are doing. That's what the good influencers do. The ones that really are getting paid, that are really treating this like a business. I think there are off chances where you're Alex Earle and you're interesting by just existing. And
exactly.
That's one category, I think, of people to be willing. Bethany Frankel is kind of in that category too, where it's like you have to be willing to be very, very polarizing and like very like.
Also, that amount of people that can do that and do it successfully is this big, right?
Yes. And you will potentially mess up your life if you don't do it right. We work at Hypos. We work with so many people that are like, our thing is working with people that are already exposed and are now like trying to navigate how to take it to the next level, or like what to do with that. Like there's analysis paralysis that comes with, and I'm sure you experience this when you hit like a certain level and now you're like, well, now what do I? Yeah. And kind of like, I mean, I certainly did. Like when I kind of blew up a little bit, and when I really was getting recognized, like in the grocery store, which is so stupid, but stick with me here. You know what that's like.
Yes.
Like, right. And I'm saying that like you were getting recognized in the grocery store when you had as many followers as I did, you know, like it happens. Right. And it's almost like you kind of get shell shocked into like everything that I say matters all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Like people are watching it and they're sharing it and they're, you know. And so anyway, my point was that one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of particularly people in like a midlife of like transitioning their careers. It's like they want to do what they think is the obvious thing, which is being kind of outrageous or doing something bold and it's like you don't have to do that to stay relevant. Like you don't have to be bold and outrageous or like do something that's like a story. Like what you've already done is significant.
Down with anything in life. What are you chasing?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's usually the dopamine. Like it's the dopamine of having built a business.
And if what you're chasing is not to be happy in the person that you are and what you do every single day, you're chasing the wrong thing.
Yes.
If you're chasing the next 200,000 followers, if you're chasing something to go viral, if you're chasing the money, you know what? You can become hot for a minute, but it can all go away the next day. So chase the right things.
Yeah.
And when you chase the right things, and if you do things well and do well by people, the success comes.
Do you feel like you are still chasing the thing that you love? Like, do you love what you do?
I do love what I do. You go through like any business moments where you're like, what am I doing? This is like killing me, or like, it's so much work. Am I really doing enough to make this matter? Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I was trying to figure some things out with the business earlier this week and was just like, I just what am I missing? I'm like evaluating things. I'm like going through all my things. And I was feeling pretty I think it happens to everyone. And I put up this morning in stories, it was like my coffee cup. And I always wake up and I read like the Bible verse of a day and like a prayer. And the prayer today was just like, I was like, wow, that's like so, it was so good. And so I put it up like over my coffee cup in stories. And a woman who I do not know sent me a message that completely reminded me of why I do this. And it said, I can't tell you how much what you put up meant to me. I needed to hear those exact words this morning, and I can't ever repay you for what you've done for me today. So for me,
what did it say?
I mean, I feel like I need to get my phone and read this, but I was like, and so, you know, I just wrote her back and was like, you know, thank you for like opening your heart to me. Like, I'm going to keep you in my prayers. I don't know what's going on, but I, you know, firmly believe what was put up. And that's when I just realized, like, that's why I'm doing this. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all can do great things. If you want to do something, I tell my girls, you can do it. You can work harder. You can take more time for stuff. You can do all that. But for you to do something that impacts someone so positively, wow. And that's why I do it. Yeah, it might be about like making floral arrangements and showing you the best Amazon find I can find. But in the end, what makes me happy is when I get messages like that or someone writes me and says, hey, I did that chicken you made the other day for my husband. And it's the first time in 10 years he's ever said he's liked my cooking. Ugh. And I'm like, okay, so everyone can make an impact. And I think that's what I wanted in this second part of my life. I want to make a positive impact. I want, like I said, for people to meet me and think I'm respectful and lovely. And I hope my page encourages people to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
Because that's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to be the best mom, the best wife, the best business owner, the best friend, the best daughter, the best sister. And guess what? We're probably all doing all of those a little poorly. And that's okay. And you have to be okay with that. But if somehow with what I'm doing and sharing, people feel grace, people feel inspired to be the best selves, people feel seen, they feel like they can talk to someone maybe because they actually haven't met me. Maybe it's more comfortable. Like, I don't know, would that woman that sent me that beautiful thing today have like sent it to her friend and said something? Maybe not, because maybe that was too vulnerable.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's a really good point.
I don't even know how we got here, but here we are.
So really, really good summary of you and just of the business of influencing and the role that influencing has.
It's not about the products.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's I think the products are what keep. I mean, the products are what keep.
They keep the lights on.
The lights on. Yeah, like gives you the ability to do it. But I think the thing, like when I think of your page, you know, it's like, I mean, I said this. It's remarkable how many times people have asked me if I actually know you. And I think it's like you've created an image of a housewife that I think is so like older millennial who's just trying to be the best version of herself that she can be. And like maybe she misses the boxes for dinner, but she's going to host a great Thanksgiving because of something that you shared. And she's at peace with the, like, it's you, the way that you've, the way you've lived your life online has been, like, it's been so inspiring to see you stay so authentic. But also, I think you're, the fact that you're not at 100,000 followers yet is remarkable. I thought you were like I looked earlier, and it's like on one hand, I mean, I know you, I feel like you're going to be at a million and like it's just going to be like a, you're like one big like viral thing from being at a million followers. Like, I don't know why you're not there yet. Like, well, everyone needs to follow. Everyone follow Random Housewife Jenna.
But I think it's more about being comfortable that I'm not there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's what I was going to say.
Because
it's on one hand,
as a mom, that's what you want your kids to be okay with, right?
Yes. Yeah. And on one hand, it's like, I know what it takes to get there. And like anyone listening to this who to get to 1 million followers, I love that for you that you're not there, because it means you've lived your life as well, you know, in parallel to what you've been building. It's remarkable that you are a married white woman, upper middle class, with two girls, that like that. And I'm saying this respectfully, and I know you know this is true, like that is the blogger. Like that is the blogger of like that. There's, I don't think there is a more competitive space.
There's not. Not right? In this realm for what we're trying to do.
Yeah, there's not. Like it's no. like you don't have to work respectfully. You mm-hmm. enjoy work. Like that's the blogger. Like which and it's is, all which the MLM is... girlies that like learned how to do it and you just dove in head first and just were like,
blindly,
I'm here. Yeah.
Blindly. I
love it. Love it. I'm so here for it. I'm so proud to actually know you in person. Every time someone asks me that, I'm like, yep, I sure do.
My heart is exploding right now. And I'm also just cracking up being like, it's just little Jenna from Daytona Beach.
Just yet. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
this is
you
so
for
fun.
Having me. So I think we'll do this weekly because we have a lot to talk about.
I think you're the co-host at this point. Like just the co-host. Who wants more of Jenna? Say I think everyone wants. I want more of Jenna. I have 1,000 questions for you. And I would love to leave this as an open-ended for a part two. I want people to I did an episode with my departing, it was my first episode, departing marketing director. It was our first episode in the studio. And she's a foodie. Like she's a, do you know Never Not Eating?
Yes, I do.
Love her so
I
much.
I love her.
She's
so spunky and fun. I just, every time I see her, I just want to hug her and love on her.
Yeah, you guys, you see each other at like the media dines and stuff. Yeah. She's the best. So out of that episode, there were 1,000 questions that people had about how she built her, and she wants no part of explaining it. Like, she's so, I mean, if you know, she's like the most black cat energy. Yes. I love her so much. She's the best. But you, I feel like I can coerce you back into the studio to explain it to the people. Thank you for being here.
And actually,
so
it might be good for us to have pointed questions because we can sit and chat all day.
Yes,
so please send in your questions.
I think it would be better. Yes, send in your questions. Where can people find you? Where's the best place to support you?
Probably Instagram, Random Housewife. There is an underscore, so random_housewife.
Got it. Check.
But you'll find it's me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alrighty, thank you so much for listening to In the Hype Seat. My name is Holly Mary Lucas. If you have a guest recommendation for us, anyone with a cool story or with a journey that we should be sharing here on the Hype Seat, please, please, please let me know. You can listen to all the In the Hype Seat episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you can submit any guest ideas. Even if it's yourself, go ahead and submit it to us at inthehypeseat.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.